Hi guys, I'm Lauren, I'm an alcoholic.
Hi.
And I'm a little nervous. I'm not very good at speaking, but here goes. My sobriety date is November 27th, 2009, and I have a home group and an awesome sponsor. And I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I'm from Tampa originally. I grew up here. My family's also from Tampa, and I came from a ordinary middle-class family. Parents were still married, had a happy childhood, but I was always just a restless, kind of nervous, fidgety kid. Short attention span, sensitive, moody, So, I had, problems for no reason. Other than that, I just had problems. I just was a neurotic, scared kid. And I grew up into a very neurotic adolescent, and my parents were moderate drinkers. There was, alcohol in our house. I remember when I was like 12, 13, they'd let us have wine with like special occasion dinners, no big deal. I remember I didn't really like the way it tasted, but I loved the way it made me feel. So I think I was an alcoholic from the get-go. I remember I was kind of a late bloomer, I guess, by like drinking standards. I didn't really start drinking until I was about 18. I know a lot of people start younger, but when I did really start, it was off to the races. I remember the first time I got drunk, I was almost 18, and somebody gave me some beer. And I was, like, this is gross, but I drank it anyway because I wanted to be cool and fit in. And after, like, my second one, I'm like, hey, I feel great. I was kind of dizzy and, like, I didn't feel, socially awkward anymore. And, I felt cool. So I just kept drinking. And I got wasted because I had, like, seven beers. And I remember throwing up the next morning and being like, wow, that was awesome. And like it didn't even occur to me that there was something wrong with that. I was just like, that was so great. I want to do it again. And I did. I waited. I didn't, get drunk that often at the beginning. But whenever we would go out or go to clubs, get in, we'd pregame and do shots and all kinds of crazy stuff before we would go to the clubs. And, everyone was doing it. So I didn't think it was, there was anything wrong with that. And I was like, well, this is great. I finally, this takes care of my anxiety. This is good stuff. I thought it was like magic in a bottle. And I just, I kept, doing shots or whatever. And so, that's kind of how I, grew into my adulthood. And I got to be 21. And, I had a job where I worked like 60 hours a week. I used to manage a restaurant, and I had to be there. It was like a bakery, so I had to be there really early in the morning, and I would come in super hungover, and I'd be reeking of alcohol, and I would have to get somebody else to do like a lot of my opening managerial duties because I was too drunk still or hungover to even like function. And still I didn't see anything wrong with that. I was just like, everyone goes out, I'm 21. But I was always the one who couldn't handle it the next day, who would be like shaking and anxiety ridden and like throwing up, and it was just a nightmare. So anyway, finally like somebody was like, maybe you should really cut down on the drinking. And I'm like, really? Are you serious? Like everyone's drinking as much as me, so that didn't even like cross my mind. And eventually I lost that job because, you can't be waking up at 4:30 in the morning and coming to work wasted every day. So then I got another job at another restaurant. And this time it was a restaurant that served alcohol. And there were no cameras. So everyone, it was like open bar, It was ridiculous. They gave us the keys at the end of the night and just let, the manager would leave and we'd be there all night long. We'd be there till 2 in the morning, hanging out, drinking. And again, everybody else was doing it. Everybody else was drinking. Well, the day came that they installed cameras. Shocker, I know. And so everyone else quit drinking because, we couldn't drink for free anymore. So it was like, you know, why, you know, no one else was willing to risk, you know, being fired or getting caught drinking. And I didn't stop drinking. I just started ordering it through the computer system and paying for it. Yeah, exactly. If anyone knows this restaurant that I used to work at, please don't tell them I did this. Although, anyway, so yeah, just another little illustration of what I did in my insanity. It didn't ever occur to me to just stop. I just, you know, was like, oh, I just won't let anyone catch me. And then that got really expensive. So then we started, me and somebody else who also had a, you know, penchant for drinking, we would bring flasks to work and just drink all night at work, like all night long at work. So then I'd wake up, of course, and the next day be hungover, and we'd be like, oh, let's go get some lunch. And at lunch, we'd have like a bottle of wine each, you know. So it just progressed and progressed, and each year it got worse. And so by like the end of it, I was just wasted 24/7, pretty much. I was just, you know, I had to drink to feel functional. And for a while too, I dated a guy who drank just as much as I did. You know, I was in a relationship, and he, you know, he drank just as much as me or more. And he was an addict, and I ended up kind of, you know, we enabled each other's bad behavior, basically. And it just got really, really out of control. And I think at some point, you know, I realized what was going on, but it was too late to stop at that point. And I was like, I don't want to be like this anymore. But, you know, I didn't know how to stop. I didn't know how to live my life without drinking and without, you know, without that. That was like my solution for everything. Anytime I felt nervous, anytime I felt, you know, like I needed to be social, I couldn't wait tables without drinking, for sure, because you have to be really social, you know. I thought that I couldn't survive without it. And I thought that if my boyfriend and I didn't drink together, well, what would we have in common? It was just awful. So I ended up with that relationship didn't work out. Shocker. And so we, I ended up after I got into a car accident in last March, and they prescribed me pain pills. Well, I had never taken those before, and I tried some, and I'm like, these are great, you know. And now I'm going to work, and after a bottle of wine and pain pills, and I got sent home. And I know, big surprise. I thought I was fine. I didn't realize that I wasn't, and it was really obvious. And that happened several times. The worst time being the time that I got put in my own car by my boss, who had to drive me home and then take my car back to work because he was too afraid to let me drive home. And they didn't fire me because I'd been there for so long. I'd been there for about 5 years. And the next day, the owner was like, you know, I need to speak to you. And he sat me down and he's like, look, you have a problem. He's like, you've had a problem for a long time. And he was like, I don't know what to do with you because I don't want to fire you, but you're putting me in a horrible position. And, you know, he gave me the whole spiel. I'm really lucky because I've had the most forgiving employers like anyone could ever ask for. But I think in a way it also kind of enabled me, because I didn't stop drinking after that. You would have thought that I would have, but I started just lying to everyone and saying I wasn't, but I was. And it just progressively got worse and worse, and they finally asked me to leave. They were like, you're just going to have to be suspended until further notice. So now I was like, well, screw it. I don't have a job. I don't have anything to do, you know, and my roommates are ready to kick me out, so I just got even more wasted because I just didn't even know how to cope with my life. And I felt like I didn't even have a life anymore. And it was just so miserable and, like, such a useless existence. And I ended up getting Baker acted twice, actually, within 2 months. And the first time was like nothing compared to the second time. The first time I was actually like at the hospital, and they were giving me, you know, drugs to calm me down because I was shaking and I was starting to see stuff. And they're like, you have the DTs. And I'm like, you know, what's that? And they were like, well, that's alcohol withdrawals when you drink for 10 years straight and you suddenly stop drinking. And so they had to give me all these medications, and, you know, I was in the, you know, Baker acted, and I was just like, this isn't where I belong, you know. I'm like, yeah, I'm like I'm in here with crazy people. And they're like, well, you're in here too, you know. And anyway, so I got out, and I stayed sober kind of, for like 2 months by myself. And then something happened in my personal life, and I just went right back to the bottle, and I hit it twice as hard. I was hiding bottles of vodka everywhere, bottles of wine, bottles of vodka, anything I could get my hands on. I mean, my roommates were like terrified that I was like gonna stop breathing in my sleep. You know, I didn't eat for 4 days. Like, I had major, like, crazy withdrawals if I did try to stop. It was insane. And I was like, just like, I wouldn't leave my room for any reason. I just like hid in my room. You know, people would come to see me. My parents were like terrified, you know, and I put everyone through hell. I put my parents through hell, my roommates, everybody, people who cared about me. I mean, I couldn't do anything, you know, it was awful. And I was just so desperate to quit drinking at this point, because I knew that I was like, at this point, I was pretty much dying. I mean, I knew, like, I was yellow. I mean, it was awful. I was so underweight, and I couldn't hold down food, and I couldn't even, you know, formulate a sentence or fill out a bank deposit slip. I mean, it was unbelievable. And so finally, I don't even remember this, but I was wasted, and my roommates found, you know, a bottle of vodka laying next to me. I had passed out, like, on my bed, and they called the paramedics. And they came to my house, and I vaguely remember they were just like, you know, I was afraid they were going to Baker Act me again, and I was arguing with them. And the one paramedic just said to me, "Listen, honey, when you sober up, call this number." And he wrote down a number and put it in my hand, and that's all I really remember from that. But I woke up like 10 hours later, and I was in the ICU of Tampa General, and I didn't even know it was the ICU. I didn't know where I was. I was just like, oh, you know, I'm back in the hospital. And I looked in my hand, and I had this scrap of paper with a phone number. And so I was like, I vaguely remembered the paramedic giving it to me. And I was like, maybe I should really save this. And it turns out that the number he wrote down for me was his girlfriend's number. And she still is in AA. And I didn't know anybody in the program. I had, you know, I hadn't really, I had like a misconception, I guess, like we all do. And I called her, and she was really nice, and she was like, you know, my boyfriend was just asking me about you, because I waited a week before I called. And she was, you know, she's like, we were wondering about you, if you were going to call. And I was like, you know, I almost didn't call, and I didn't want to pick up the phone, and I didn't want to call her, but I knew I had to do something, because I mean, if I had just kept going on, you know, the way I was going on, I was going to die. There's no way around it. So she ended up taking me to my first meeting, which was at 3333, and I picked up a white chip, and I just, at first, you know, I was like, I don't know about this AA thing, and I was really skeptical, and I was like, this isn't going to work for me, you know. And I would see people get up and get these chips for like 2 months or 3 months or years, and I'd be like, those people are, I'm like, they can't be telling the truth, you know. Like, I was like, that can't be. I couldn't even, like, imagine that was possible, but it is, because here I am, and I've got 70 some odd days, and it's the longest I've been sober in 10 years, and I never could have done it on my own, ever, because I tried, and I tried to do it on my own, and I couldn't do it. So, I mean, that's pretty much my story. I mean, my life has already become exponentially better in just a few short months, so I'm really excited to see where my life takes me now. Thanks for letting me share, guys.